Bihari. Jai Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari. Gopijana Vallabha Giridhara Dhari Vallabha Giridhara Dhari Jaya Gopijana Vallabha Giridhara Dhari Vallabha Giridhara Dhari Yashoda Nandana Braja Janaranjana Yashoda Nandana Braja Janaranjana Yamuna Tira Vanachari Yamuna Tira Vanachari Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari Shishi Kishore Kishore Ki, Shila Prabhupada Ki, Shima Bhagavatam Ki, Vitae Gora Premanande, Hari Hari Bo. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam. Canto 9, Chapter 11, Text 6. Apratam nas tvaya kim nu Bhagavan Bhunaneshwara Yanontar hidayam visya Tamo hamsi svarochisha Apratam nastvaya kimnu Bhagavan Bhuvaneshwara Yannontar hidayam visya Tamo hamsi svarochisha Apratam nastvaya kimnu Bhagavan Bhuvaneshwara Yannontar hirdayam vishya Tamo hamsi svarochisha Please chant. Pratam dastvaya kimnu Bhagavan Bhutaneshvara Yannontar hidayam vishya Tamoham si svarochisha Apratam nastraya kimnu Bhagavan Bhuvaneshvara Yannontar hidayam vishya Yamoham si sarochisha Apratam nastraya kimnu Bhagavan Bhuvaneshvara Yannontar hidayam vishya Tamoham si sarochisha. Word for word. Apratam, not given. Naha, unto us. Tvaya, by your lordship. Kim, what? Nu, indeed. Bhagavan, O Supreme Lord. Bhuvana Ishvara, O Master of the whole universe. Yat, because. Na, our. Antahidayam, within the core of the heart. Vishya, entering. Tamaha, the darkness of ignorance. Hamsi, you annihilate. Svarochisha, by your own effulgence. Translation and purport. His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. O Lord, you are the master of the entire universe. What have you not given us? You have entered the core of our hearts and dissipated the darkness of our ignorance by your effulgence. This is the supreme gift. We do not need a material donation. Purport. When Dhruva Maharaj was offered a benediction by the Supreme Personality of Godhead, he replied, O my Lord, I am fully satisfied. I do not need any material benediction. Similarly, when Prahlad Maharaj was offered a benediction by Lord Narasimhadev, he also refused to accept it and instead declared that a devotee should not be like a vanik, a mercantile man who gives something in exchange for some profit. One who becomes a devotee for some material profit is not a pure devotee. Brahmanas are always enlightened by the Supreme Personality of Godhead within the heart. Sarvasya chaham hidi sannivishto mata smritir jnanam apohanam cha. And because the Brahmanas and Vaishnavas are always directed by the Supreme Personality of Godhead, they are not greedy for material wealth. What is absolutely necessary, they possess, but they do not want an expanded kingdom. An example of this was given by Vamanadeva. Acting as a brahmachari, Lord Vamanadeva wanted only 3 paces of land. Aspiring to possess more and more for personal sense gratification is simply ignorance, and this ignorance is conspicuous by its absence from the heart of a brahmana or Vaishnava. Namo Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishtaya Bhutale Shrimate Bhaktivedanta Swami Niti Namine Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Prachayane Nirvishesha Shunyavari Pashyata Deshitayane Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Srivastadi Gaur Bhaktivinna Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So, in this verse, the Brahmanas are speaking to Lord Ramachandra after he offered him some land. After Lord Ramachandra offered the Brahmanas land, an expansive portion of his kingdom, to the Brahmanas. And this is the Brahmanas' response to Lord Ramachandra, which is a really nice verse to meditate on. So I'll share with you guys some things I was meditating on yesterday when going over it. So the Brahmanas' response is that they've already received everything from Lord Ramachandra that they need. So, which is in this verse described as the Lord has entered into the core of their hearts and dissipated all the ignorance. So, because of that, they don't want any material benediction. They've already received, it's described in this verse as the supreme gift. So that's the Brahmana's response. In the purport, Srila Prabhupada explains two different examples of this also, and how pure devotees, along with the Brahmanas, Prabhupada in the purport puts the Vaishnavas within that category as well. And he gives two examples of Dhruva Maharaj and Prahlad Maharaj. For when they got the mercy of the Lord, they also expressed that they don't want any material benediction. And so this is the example to follow, to receive the mercy of the Lord. In the nectar of devotion, this is the verse, Anyabhilashita Shunyam Jnana Karma Dinavatam Anukulena Krishnanu Shilanam Bhaktir Uttamam. So to get this pure devotional service, which is what dissipates the darkness of our ignorance, we have to be free of this material desire. In the purport it says, one, an expanded kingdom. A Vaishnava possesses what's absolutely necessary, but they do not want an expanded kingdom. Aspiring, later in the purport, Prabhupada says, aspiring to possess more and more for personal sense gratification is simply ignorance. And this ignorance is conspicuous by its absence from the heart of a Brahmana or Vaishnava. So that's Anyabhilashita Shunyam. Pure devotees are free of this desire to possess more and more for their own personal sense gratification. So, I wanted to share a few things about, in this regard, about my joining Krishna consciousness, because sometimes I compare myself to Dhruva Maharaj in a minuscule way of why I came to Krishna consciousness. That's the first point that I kind of want to explain beyond the purport. Kind of get into a story, my story a little bit, just to exemplify the point of what it means, what it's like to approach the Lord with material desires. When I first started practicing Krishna consciousness, I wanted to become a famous musician, and when I joined the temple, I found this place to be a great place to become a famous musician. I wouldn't have to work a job, and I would sing all day, so my voice would get better eventually, and I would get spiritual knowledge, because I wanted to be like a spiritual musician. But I had so much material desire covered over that. But I did want to be spiritual, so I was approaching God for whatever little realization I had at that point. But when you practice devotional service with these material desires, especially when you're living in the temple, you have to become purified of these desires Eventually, you can kind of go through the motions for material desires for some time, but it becomes more and more difficult to actually surrender to Krishna. It calls for more and more surrender to keep going. So that was my experience where, when I first joined, because I had so many material desires, devotional service was more and more difficult. I didn't want to do it. I would rather sleep, or I would just wait for prasadam, things like that. But gradually there's purification, and that tendency has reduced more and more because I've chosen, instead of pursuing and maintaining those material desires to become a famous musician, I've been given so much mercy. Like in this verse, the Brahmanas say they've been, what have you not given? I also feel that way, that I've received so much more by coming to the temple than what I was seeking. Just like Dhruva Maharaj, he says, he was coming to him for cut glass, but he received like the ultimate benediction. That's how I feel as well. I wanted fame and all these things was so much covering my desire. But I received the highest thing, and the mercy of Krishna and Guru, and that has given me so much relief from the ignorance that was covering over me, which is, you know, mostly in the form of unsatiated lust, which is never satisfied and burns like fire. So that's a complete state of dissatisfaction all the time. So this darkness and ignorance and passion gets removed, and then there's happiness. So, and that's the higher experience that the Brahmanas and Vaishnavas experience. So then all these material assets that are really just the cause of this perpetual dissatisfaction, that gets diminished, and they experience something higher. Like in the Bhagavad Gita, it says, develop a higher taste. Param drishtva nivartate. So you can give up that, all these lower things that everyone in the material world is seeking, by getting a higher taste. So that was my experience. Another story, kind of personal story, was kind of came to a culmination where I realized like all my material desires were total nonsense. In India, I had this kind of existential experience when I was in Jagannath Puri. I was on a yatra, so we were going around Jagannath Puri, and one of the days we went out to this small village outside of Jagannath Puri, and there was just the really simple village people living there, and there's like a lot of little kids playing in the sand, and there's like animals roaming around, cows, goats, and all the people. The houses were made of huts, and there's like a few temples in this tiny village, maybe like 50 to 100 people living there, something like that. And we were with a bunch of like devotees from all around the world, and we were walking around the village doing kirtan. We went to the temple and had a class. When we were walking around one time, I found myself away from the group, and kind of it got really quiet, like there was just nothing going on. And I was just in this little village alone, quiet. I just saw like some elderly lady like walking with some animals, and it just got like really quiet, and all of a sudden it just like hit me, like I'm like totally covered by all this crazy nonsense from being conditioned by the modern American culture. Like I felt like I didn't belong in this such a simple village because I have so much samskaras, so much desires to enjoy all the lights and all the cameras, like of the material of the modern American culture, all the stores, all this stuff is just like not present in a village, and all these distractions. And I just kind of had this existential experience that like all this is Maya. Like it just like totally doesn't allow me to just simply exist. It's all distraction from self-realization and God-realization. And this living in a simple village is really a way to experience simple joys in life. But I couldn't do that. I couldn't have stayed in that village with these simple people because I have all these material desires. I'm like totally, I'm like a demon compared to them. I would like come in there, try to like market the place and like try to make a bunch of money somehow. Like this is my conditioning. I would like exploit all the people probably because this, I'm like an American, They would like look up to me, this is a white man. Young man just could become a man, but like all these things, and it's just like it's just I just realized I'm so like contaminated, and that really hit me in that experience. And that's due to association with modern culture and materialism. So that's the opposite of a Brahminical culture. The Brahminical culture establishes simple living and high thinking, all directed towards the supreme personality of Godhead. And the opposite of that culture is to be chasing a kingdom and for your own sense gratification. So that was one realization I had in India, and that has helped me take more seriously to the Brahminical culture, the Vaishnava culture, and try to simplify and become purified of all this contamination that's covering me. I wanted to speak a little bit about a second point, the Brahminical, the glories of the Brahmanas. It's really, I was reading a section of verses from the teachings of Lord Rishabhdev recently in the fifth canto, and and he glorifies the Brahmanas. First, he instructs his sons, headed by Bharata Maharaj, about devotional service and overcoming material conditionings. He says, first verse, he says, "Don't become like hogs and dogs, and just simply for sense gratification or expanding your kingdom." He said, "You have to seek spiritual life, approach a spiritual master, and render service to him." And he puts Bharata Maharaj in charge, and then he directs Bharata Maharaj to take guidance from the Brahmanas, and then he gives a few verses glorification of the Brahmanas. So I wanted to read that a little bit, just these few verses by Lord Rishabhdev, of the glories of the Brahmanas, so we can understand a little bit this position that these Brahmanas are in because of the mercy of Lord Ramachandra. So this is Canto 5, Chapter 5, Text 21, 22, 23, and 24, I think I'll read. So I'll just read the translations. So of the two energies, manifest spirit and dull matter, beings possessing living force, vegetables, grass, trees, and plants are superior to dull matter, stone, earth, etc. Superior to non-moving plants and vegetables, are worms and snakes, which can move. Superior to worms and snakes are animals that have developed intelligence. Superior to animals are human beings, and superior to human beings are ghosts, because they have no material bodies. Superior to ghosts are the Gandharvas, and superior to them are the Siddhas. Superior to the Siddhas are the Kinnars, and superior to them are the Asuras. Superior to the Asuras are the demigods, and of the demigods, Indra, the king of heaven, is supreme. Superior to Indra are the direct sons of Lord Brahma, sons like King Daksha, and supreme among Brahma's sons is Lord Shiva. Since Lord Shiva is the son of Lord Brahma, Brahma is considered superior, but Brahma is also subordinate to me, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. This is Lord Rishabhdev speaking. Because I am inclined to the Brahmanas are best of all. Next verse. O respectful Brahmanas, as far as I am concerned, no one is equal or superior to the Brahmanas in this world. I do not find anyone comparable to them. When people know my motive after performing rituals according to the Vedic principles, they offer food to me with faith and love through the mouth of a Brahmana. When food is thus offered unto me, I eat it with full satisfaction. Indeed, I derive more pleasure from food offered in that way than from the food offered in the sacrificial fire. Text 24. The Vedas are my eternal transcendental sound incarnation. Therefore, the Vedas are Shabda Brahma. In this world, the Brahmanas thoroughly study all the Vedas, and because they assimilate the Vedic conclusions, they are also to be considered the Vedas personified. The Brahmanas are situated in the supreme transcendental mode of nature, Sattva-guna. Because of this, they are fixed in in mind control, Sama, sense control, Dhamma, and truthfulness, Satya. They describe the Vedas in their original sense, and out of mercy, Anugraha, they preach the purpose of the Vedas to all conditioned souls. They practice penance, tapasya, and tolerance, titiksha, and they realize the position of the living entity and the Supreme Lord, Anubhava. These are the eight qualifications of the Brahmanas. Therefore, among all living entities, no one is superior to the Brahmanas. So, I found this to be a really nice description of the Brahmanas, especially this last verse, that the Brahmanas assimilate the Vedic conclusions, and so they're actually the Vedas personified. So they carry the message of the Vedas, and they teach the message of the Vedas, which is a sound incarnation of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So they also accept foodstuffs on behalf of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And here Lord Rishabhdev says that he actually enjoys this offering through the Brahmanas, through the mouths of the Brahmanas, and he enjoys that more than food offered in the sacrificial fire, which is kind of a cool point. So the Brahmanas are the spiritual leaders of society and the culture. So without the Brahmanas, the culture has no head and no direction. So then everything is chaos. In one of the purports, the first verse that I read, Prabhupada says, without this guidance of the Brahmanas, everything is complete chaos. Everything is led by material lust, and it's based on sexual desire. And that just destroys everything, the destruction of everything, when there's no brahminical guidance and brahminical training. Everything is just ruined. Everyone just exploits each other and exploits the earth, and there's competition, and there's everyone is completely dissatisfied because they're chasing after material illusion. Whereas Brahminical culture, the Brahmanas, they show by example how to be, how to not chase after this illusion. They're self-controlled, they're peaceful, they do perform austerities, they're tolerant, they're honest, and they're pure, and they seek wisdom and knowledge. So by their example, by their presence alone, and by their example, and their teachings, then the rest of society can head in the right direction. Rather than being degraded, they can improve. And so, since they're in that position of keeping the society together, they're very dear to the Lord, and especially when they're completely selfless, and then they have this great affection from the Lord. Like in the Rishabhdev's verse, he named all the from the lowest to the highest, all the demigods, and then he said, "I'm higher than all of them, but the Brahmanas are better than all of them because they're favored by me." So this is the position of the Brahmanas. I found that to be a nice glorification. One other point, that so Prabhupada brings in the purport that the Vaishnavas and the Brahmanas, he puts them all together. So also my thought is that even if someone isn't Brahminical in their occupation, but if they're a Vaishnava, they also develop this these good qualities just by engaging in their duties. Maybe they're not Brahminical duties, but in relation to the Supreme, and they also develop these qualities, and they improve their consciousness, and they also can teach other people the right path. And if no matter what occupation, if you become a selfless servant in Krishna consciousness, then you become very dear to the Lord. That's one point. So the last point that I have that I meditated upon was that how in the verse, the part of the verse that talks about the Lord entering into the heart of the Brahmanas. The Brahmanas said, "The Lord has entered in the core of our heart and dissipated the darkness of our ignorance by your effulgence." So I found that to be like really poetic. You've entered into our hearts and dissipated the darkness of our ignorance by your effulgence. So this is a nice description of how we can destroy all of our contaminations that we have from our previous samskaras. We have to allow the Lord to come back into our focus, to come back into our consciousness, to enter into our heart. When we meditate upon the Lord within our heart, then his effulgence within our heart spreads and purifies us. So we can bring the Lord back into our heart mostly by chanting the holy name and hearing the Srimad Bhagavatam. When we hear about the glories and the qualities and the descriptions of the Lord, it enters more deeper into our consciousness and starts dispelling our ignorance, so we can start to see the Lord. And also, deity worship is extremely powerful in that if we become more and more attached to the form of the deity, then we don't have to speculate about what does Krishna look like. We just meditate on the deity, and the effulgence of that meditation, it brings a lot of light into our lives. If we can just just even just a little bit, if we just internally meditate on the form of Kishore Kishori, it just like totally enlightens us and like uplifts us from anything. So also by chanting, there's the verse in the Nectar of Instruction or Nectar of Devotion, Atashi Krishna Namadi Na Bhavet Grayam Indriyai Sevon Muke Hi Jiva Da Svayam Eva Spratya Da. So said that we can't perceive this effulgent, all blissful qualities of Krishna because our senses are blunt. The blunt senses are not able to perceive it. It's beyond our material senses. But by chanting, or by engaging in service, beginning with the tongue, which Prabhupada describes as chanting, mostly chanting and also taking prasadam, the senses become purified and Krishna reveals himself to us from within. So we can't perceive this, the greatness of and this effulgence and this all blissfulness of Krishna with our material senses. It has to be awakened by this process of chanting and hearing. And we get more and more absorbed in that, and we become more focused on our meditation of Krishna, the cowherd boy, personality of Godhead, in the form of this intimate form, this sweetness of Krishna. So much bliss and effulgence and happiness surrounding this personality. So much intimacy of love with God in this form. We just get more and more happy and blissful. And from within our heart, all the darkness starts to get cleansed. We get this higher taste that these brahmanas are experiencing by the association of Lord Ramachandra. And then when they have that, this is the supreme gift, as they're saying. So they don't want any land, they don't need any material donation. They're completely satisfied. So they don't have to work so hard to build this kingdom. Like in the material platform, you have to work so hard to build your kingdom, and it's never satisfied. Everything in the Ishopanishad said that everything is perfect and complete in the universe, and the creation is perfect and complete, and no other living part of the universe has to work, have a separate endeavor to maintain the universe. But the thing is, in the material world, people are working so hard to try to maintain their illusory kingdom. But actually, the universe is fully perfect and complete, and it's fully capable of taking care of every individual part. But instead of surrendering to the Supreme and just taking our quota and living according to the injunctions of the scriptures, we try to neglect that and we try to pursue our own kingdom. And you have to work so hard, especially in Kali Yuga, you have to work all day and night, and you don't ever get any free time, and you have some nice big house, but you don't get time to do anything because you're just working all the time to maintain it, because you're trying to endeavor separately from the Supreme, which is perfect and complete. But when you become satisfied with the complete and you serve the complete, then you can do less. You have to do your duty still simultaneously in the Ishopanishad, still maintain your body, but you're not striving for that kingdom. You're striving for enlightenment, and you're striving for connection with the Supreme, yoga, your connection and satisfaction through our connection with the Supreme, rather than this expanding more and more for our personal sense gratification. We are becoming more self-satisfied by our relationship with Krishna. So that's the night and day that is spoken about in the Bhagavad Gita, the sages and the common people, like the time of awakening and the time of sleeping. It's night and day for the self-realized and the materialists. We wake up early and spend our time meditating on Krishna. We go to sleep early so we can wake up. But they come to life to try to enjoy at nighttime and try to expand their kingdom. They work all day and then they try to enjoy at night. We go to sleep early and meditate on Krishna. And then we serve during the day to maintain our body or to spread Sankirtan mission or both. So these are my thoughts about this verse. That's pretty much all I have. I can kind of go through a summary of what I spoke about, just to wrap it all together. First, I shared my story of my own approaching the practice of Krishna consciousness and with my material desires, and then realizing that it was all useless in comparison to what I was receiving from the practice of Krishna consciousness, this higher experience of self-realization, God-realization. Then I explained the teachings of Lord Rishabhdev, the position of the brahmanas, how they're higher than everybody in the Lord's perspective, and the qualities of the brahmanas because they're the Vedas personified, because they've assimilated the Vedas, and they teach society to follow the Vedas. Therefore, they're very dear to the Lord. And the Vaishnavas are also a part of this. In the purport, Prabhupada adds Brahmanas and Vaishnavas. So no matter what your occupation is, if you're a Vaishnava, you're serving the devotees and serving the Lord, you're developing these qualities. And the last point is about the practice of hearing and chanting, and inviting the Lord into our heart to dissipate our ignorance, which culminates in material desires, chasing material happiness, instead of this culture of self-realization and God-realization and ultimately real happiness, rather than temporary fleeting happiness and mostly distress. So those are my thoughts that I have to share. If there's any comments or questions, anybody would like to add something, it'd be great to take up some time.
I was wondering, Prabhupada gives example in the purport of Dhruva Maharaj and Prahlad Maharaj in terms of the point that you highlighted in the class and Prabhupada highlighted that in the purport, that the devotee being satisfied with the mercy of the Lord, then all material things becomes completely pale and useless. So naturally, why wouldn't you like something lesser than what you're receiving? You're satisfied. However, I'm thinking that in both cases, Dhruva Maharaj and Prahlad Maharaj, the Lord asked them, you know, for a benediction. In the case of Dhruva, he wanted something and he realized, I came to you for this, but I'm receiving this, your mercy. But in the case of Prahlad Maharaj, he asked for any benediction, and Prahlad Maharaj says, don't tempt me, you know, that I'm not a business person, I just want, you know, if you want to give me something, you give me the service of my Guru Maharaj, Narada Muni. In this case, the Lord is giving something. He's not asking, he's just giving you. And the brahmanas are giving it back. So, I was wondering how the relation, I was thinking how that relationship works. Obviously, it's a very loving relationship that is there, and then we hear in the exchange. But you're giving something, but, and in I think in one of the purpose, previous purpose, say that they accepted it, but now they're giving it back. So, it doesn't necessarily look like, you know, like, it's, you know, you're taking what the Lord is giving you, you know? You tend to think that what the Lord gives you, then you have to use, you have the responsibility to use it for the service of the Lord. When you give it back, then how exactly that makes the example, you know, of what you do. I was just thinking that. You have any thought?
Not too many thoughts. I guess my one thought is like the process of offering Ganges water back to the Ganges, or the child like using the father's money to buy a gift for the father. In a sense that they accept it and then they offer it back to him as like out of love and affection, or a feeling of dependence that it is his no matter what. So to not not to be illusioned by our proprietorship, but that it is belongs to him no matter what. So I mean, that's just my thought. I don't know if that addresses.
Yeah, I think you hit that. I mean, the Lord knows the heart of this devotee, so it's a reciprocation of love, and they're expressing that. So I guess that is their offering of love, because they did accept it, but they offering back, just like the example of offering the waters of the Ganges back to the Ganges. You know, it's good.
Thank you for bringing it up.
Yeah, thank you.
Hare Krishna Prabhu. Thank you for your class, and more importantly, thank you for explaining your personal obstacles and honesty and coming to Krishna consciousness, because I feel that it's easy to be attentive in Bhagavatam class when people relate their personal stories and obstacles to the devotees in the Bhagavatam, because they lived thousands of years ago, and you could easily relate to people who's right in front of you, and you could see them. And I feel like that personally, you know, people may have different opinions, but I feel that personally helps people to overcome their obstacles at the present moment, where we hear people speak of their stories. And I just want to appreciate also that you, Acharya, brought you to Krishna consciousness. You brought Madhava Gauranga, and I already told you this before. You guys pretty much had the same disposition. That's you don't seem to be disturbed in any circumstances. I've never seen any of you guys get in any loud confrontations with anyone, so I kind of appreciate that. So if I had to ask a question, my question is, it's related to the point, how important, or is it important, maybe you could explain, to appreciate devotees in their personal stories without it? Because I remember one devotee, and I appreciated his point, he said, you know, we have our Bhagavatam class and we have our Bhakti Shastri, but sometimes when you associate with devotees, you want to have a heart-to-heart discussion. Not that every conversation is Bhagavatam, every conversation is Bhakti Shastri, because it's like scholarly, and these Paramahamsas are kind of way above us. So how about relating our personal lives to Krishna consciousness without it being considered prajalpa? And so maybe you could discuss your understanding or opinions on that. I'd like to hear your, you know.
Yeah, I like that point a lot. I think it's a good point. To also, I mean, it's good to have the Bhagavatam and the message of the Bhagavatam in the center still. But when we share our personal experience and we reveal our minds, especially among peers, it's nice to have that very personal exchanges where we're speaking about our personal lives in Krishna consciousness. With the message of the Bhagavatam, there's definitely a time and place for that, and it's also important not to only talk about that and try, and also to meditate on the message of the Bhagavatam, you know, as much as possible, but not to the neglect of personal realization. I guess it goes in line with the nectar of instruction, revealing your mind in confidence and inquiring confidentially. It's nice to know where devotees are really at, and that takes, on a peer level, it takes revelation of the mind. Whereas, like someone, you can, and that can come about through the process of hearing and reading together, and sharing. I find that to be really powerful, especially in just developing relationships with other devotees, which is really important for maintaining Krishna consciousness. If you share where you're really at, and they share where they're really at, then you're totally bonded, and that creates, then you're, gives you strength. Like Radhanath Maharaj's example of the roots of the what, I'm not sure what trees, the redwood trees, they don't go very deep, but they're connected. So if we share, reveal our minds to each other, then we have that support where they know where you're at, what you've gone through, things like that, where you're going, what you want to do. And so it's important.
Prabhupada, I'm just quoting a Bhagavatam, not quoting, but anyone could reference, you know, which you just, your answer, and it just came to mind about personal realization. In a Bhagavatam 1.4.1, Prabhupada encourages personal realization, so you guys can read that purport. It's definitely 1.4, but I believe it's the first verse, so 1.4.1, so you can check that out about personal realizations. Prabhupada explains that and encourages it. All right, Hare Krishna, thank you.
Thank you for bringing it up. Yes.
And in relation to Subal Prabhu's point, in this particular instance, the previous text 5, it mentions that they gave it back because as Brahmins, they understood it's not theirs to rule over. Mm. It's not, they don't have the position to rule over and collect taxes. That would be a distraction from their Brahminical duty. So Krishna gives to his devotees, and they may return that. In this case, the reason was based on their particular function. And what he gave them, they saw that this is not our duty. They gave it back.
That's a nice point. The brahmanas need kshatriyas to rule the people on a practical level so the brahmanas can focus on the spirit, the Vedas, and self-realization, God-realization. So, and the kshatriyas, which is Lord Ramachandra in this case, they actually rule the land. It's a nice point. Thank you. Oh, I was supposed to read the next verse? Okay. All right, we can finish off with, send everybody out with the text 7, 9, 11, 7, because we were supposed to read that verse originally, because there's no purport. So, I'll read Sanskrit and English. Namo Brahmanya Devaya Ramaya Kunta Medase Uttama Shloka Duryaya Nyasta Dandarpi Tangrahaye. O Lord, you are the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who have accepted the Brahmanas as your worshipable deity. Your knowledge and memory are never disturbed by anxiety. You are the chief of all famous persons within this world, and your lotus feet are worshipped by sages who are beyond the jurisdiction of punishment. O Lord Ramachandra, let us offer our respectful obeisances unto you. Shri Ramachandra ki jai, Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki tai, Gaura Premanande Hari Hari Bo. Vanchakopa Trupis Chakra Vasan Vivashakti Nambad Vaishnavi Namo Namah.